Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 29, entitled Talks Between Narada and King Prachina Barhi, Text 32. Dukhe Shve Katare Napi Daiva Bhutatma Hetushu Jivasyana Vyavachedaha Pratikriya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The living entities are trying to counteract different miserable conditions pertaining to providence, other living entities, or the body and mind. Still, they must remain conditioned by the laws of nature despite all attempts to counter these laws. Purport. Just as a dog wanders here and there for a piece of bread or punishment, the living entity perpetually wanders about trying to be happy and planning in so many ways to counteract material misery. This is called the struggle for existence. We can actually see in our daily lives how we are forced to make plans to drive away miserable conditions. To get rid of one miserable condition, we have to put ourselves in another kind of miserable condition. A poor man suffers for want of money, but if he wants to become rich, he has to struggle in so many ways. Actually, that is not a valid contracting process, but a snare of illusory energy. If one does not endeavor to contract his situation, but is satisfied with his position, knowing that he has obtained his position through past activities, he can instead engage his energy to develop Krishna consciousness. This is recommended in all Vedic literature. Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido na labhyate yad bhramatam upavyadhah tal labhyate dukhavad anyata sukham kalena sarvatra gabhir ramhasam. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet Brahmaloka down to the lowest planet, Patala Loka. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we obtain miseries even though we do not desire them. One should simply try to develop his Krishna consciousness and not waste his time trying to improve his material condition. Actually, the material condition cannot be improved. The process of improvement means accepting another miserable condition. However, if we endeavor to improve our Krishna consciousness, the distresses of material life will disappear without extraneous endeavor. Krishna therefore promises, Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigacchati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Bhagavad Gita 9:31. One who takes to the path of devotional service will never be vanquished. Despite all miseries of the body and mind, and despite all misery brought about by other living entities and providence, miseries which are beyond our control. Dukheshwe katarenapi. So Narada Muni continues explaining his seemingly difficult to understand this allegory of the life of Puranjan, through which he is trying to basically explain the condition of every living entity in this material world. This world is called the superintendent of this world is Durga. This word Durga means a fort. Ga means to get out. Fort. Fort. Ga means to get out. Gamanam. And Dur means difficult. A Durga means very difficult to get out of this place. And the superintendent of this jail is Durga Devi. Durga. One who is the superintendent of this Durga. And how does she make our life miserable, which is her thankless job? She has her trident, Tapatraya. Three kinds of miseries. Miseries caused by one's own body and mind. Miseries caused by other living entities. Miseries caused by natural disturbances. Actually, if you think with a cool head and brainstorm for all time to come and write down all kinds of miseries that you have experienced, you are experiencing, or you will experience, or you can imagine a person can experience, and try to classify, it will be one of the three or a combination of all the three. It's a fact. And no amount of endeavor, no amount of trying to solve the condition, situation, or trying to get away from that misery will be successful. Because this has been specifically designed by the Creator for a particular purpose. And therefore, since He is the Supreme Controller, only He can manipulate in such a way that you can overcome, or by the process that He gives, you can overcome. Without that, any endeavor is simply one solution will lead to 10 other problems. And this whole material advancement of material civilization is a solid proof of this particular fact. This endeavor was there since time immemorial. Hiranyakashipu tried. Hiranyakashipu was not an ordinary person. He was extremely powerful. He had practically the whole universe under his control. But one living entity, 5-year-old child, made his life miserable. Completely miserable. In spite of the fact that he had power to control all the demigods. Jayapataka Maharaj was once mentioning how, like we, you know, turn the regulator to increase the fan or the AC, he would just indicate with a twist of his eyebrow, and why you had to send a little air with a little regulated, you know. Or he would just look like this, and Varuna had to send, and Indra had to shower rains. He would look at Earth, and she had to produce all the wonderful ingredients, whether you are watered it or not. This is technology. Highest technology. Just look at it and everything comes out. Now, who can ever imagine to control the whole universe? This is the ultimate. Hiranya means gold. He had complete opulence. And Kashipu means soft bed for enjoyment. So he had complete power and he had tremendous desire to enjoy the whole universe. And he had the power. He had the intelligence. He had the power. But somehow, he just couldn't. Intelligent man is he who learns by others' experience. Or by hearing. If you can't, then you have to see. If you can't, then you have to experience. But the worst is that in spite of experience, people don't understand. This is fourth class intelligence. Intelligence that is covered by a mode of passion and ignorance. And therefore, real intelligent man is he who stops this unnecessary endeavor of trying to find material solution to his problem. There is only one solution, and that is spiritual solution. Any other solution And that solution is a solution given by the Creator Himself. Any other solution is simply going to create 10 other problems and make our life hellish. This deep conviction is real intelligence. It is said, there are two kinds of truths, conceivable truth and inconceivable truth. Conceivable truth is that through material intelligence, natural process of thinking, you will realize. Just like Archimedes suddenly, you know, was inspired to come a solution to his problem. Or Kekulé, he wanted a benzene ring. So, simply strong desire and sincere desire, by deep meditation always, you can conceive certain truths and come out with solutions for your problems. But there are some inconceivable truths which even the most powerful brain of Brahma cannot solve or cannot understand. That is called achintya. One of them is the soul. It's amazing how very intellectual people cannot understand this ordinary thing that we are not the body, we are the soul. That's why Gita says, Ascharyavat pashyati kashyadenam, Ascharyavat vadati taithaiva chanyah, Ascharyavat chaina manya shunoti, shrutvapi enam vedana chaiva kashyati. They hear about the soul as amazing, they talk about it as amazing, they understand it as amazing, but in spite of all this intellectual understanding, nobody realizes this. Achintyaha khaluye bhava natam starikena yojayet. Prakriti jah param yachya tad achintya se lakshanam. The nature of this achintya truth is it can't panthastu koti shatavat sarasam pragamyo. Even if you travel, munipungavanam, the best of mental gymnasts, even if they perform for the rest of eternity all their gymnastics, they can't even touch the tip of the toe of absolute truth, which is inconceivable. Therefore, the first sign of knowledge is humility. Krishna says in the Gita, Amanitvam. He starts, he says, Etad jnanam iti proktam ajnanam yattad anyatha. This is the only intelligence, the first sign of real intelligence, the evolution of intelligence, real intelligence, spiritual intelligence, is, my Lord, I read a beautiful poster. I think this was Alcoholic Anonymous or someone. Very nice. He says, my Lord, give me the strength to change the things that I can. Give me the strength to tolerate what I cannot. And last line says, give me the intelligence to discriminate between the two. There are some things you just cannot change. You simply have to tolerate. Tamstitiksasu bharata. You simply have to tolerate. You try to monkey around, you'll be more miserable than ever before. And give me the strength to change what I can. That is what Prahlad Maharaj or Bhagavat is saying. Tasseva heto prayatete kovidu. You can change one thing. What is that? We can change our perception. We can change our consciousness. We can change our heart. Our attitude. That's all. That we have a freedom to. So Prahlad and Narad Muni elsewhere in the Bhagavatam says, Tasseva heto prayateta kovido. A real intelligent man is he who tries for that intelligence. Nalabhyate yad bhramatam upariyadha. From Brahma Loka down to the Patala Loka, this is not available. This is Goloka, it is imported knowledge from the spiritual world by an ambassador of the spiritual world. He can only come and give this. So by knowledge, when we become humble, then acharya upasanam, then a person actually takes shelter that I am insignificant, I am fool, I am ignorant. Please, what is the solution for this? Athato Brahma Jigyasa. That's the beginning of human form of life. Till then it is sophisticated animals, that's all. So, then, that intelligence, the Seva Hetu. But unfortunately, those who are seemingly endeavoring to understand this truth are labeled by material people as crazy men, as parasites, as pessimists, as lazy bums, not enthusiastically participating with them in their rat race. That's described in the Bhagavad Gita, Yanisha Sarabhutanam Tasyam Jagartimaya. That's because there are two different paradigms. What's important for him is the last thing for him, and what's last thing for him is the most important thing for him. And therefore this will always exist. There will always be Gaubhuta Sargav Lokesmin Daiva Asuraevach. Daiva are one who are trying to surrender humbly, and Asura are one who are trying to lord it over. And therefore, this duality will eternally exist as long as the material creation exists. And then, at that time, one should endeavor. Of course, that doesn't mean laziness. Spiritual life doesn't mean laziness. But there is tremendous activity. But that activity is for tasaiva hetu. Nalabhyate yad dhramatam upadyadha. Things that you can change only in the human form of life, only with spiritual intelligence. And that is how to transcend dualities. That's it. How to transcend these dualities. Because as long as we are in material consciousness, we have to suffer. So the endeavor should be simply to transcend. Arjun asked the question in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Sthita pragyasya ka bhasha samadhisthasya keshava sthita dehi kim prabhasheta kim asita brajeta kim. How do we recognize a person who is endeavoring on this path or who is achieved perfection on this path? Sthita pragya, an intelligent man whose mind, pragya, whose consciousness is fixed on the absolute. What is his disposition? How does he speak? How does he sit? How does he walk? He is not asking of his walking style and his, you know, sitting style, you know, which language does he speak? Devanagari or no. What he means is, what is his general disposition? What is his consciousness? What is his language? What he speaks? How does he restrain himself from all these dualities? How does he sit at one place? We sit at one place and mind travels all over the world trying to solve the problems. How does he sit at one place, oblivious to the dualities of this world? And what are his activities? How does he go about? What activities does he perform? Everyone is running around. Prabhupada said, somebody is running on four legs, you are running on four wheels. But how does he walk? Where does he walk? What does he talk? So these are symptoms. And Prabhupada gives beautiful, in the purport he says, a rich man can be recognized by these symptoms. Oh, he's a rich man, by the way he talks, walks, sits, etc. And learned man can be found out by the way he sits, talks, walks, etc. A sick man can be found out by the way he sits, talks, walks, etc. Similarly, Arjuna, for all our benefit, is asking this question. And what is the first? There are four questions. What is his general disposition, general characteristic? How does he speak? How does he sit? How does he walk? So Krishna says, first thing, Prabhupada writes in this particular purport today, he says, actually, that is not a valid contracting process, but a snare of illusory energy, any other contracting process. If one does not endeavor to contract his situation, but is satisfied with his position, knowing that he has obtained his position through past activities, he can instead engage his energy to develop Krishna consciousness. So the first sign of a self-realized person is he is satisfied in his position. He is not like an insect that is caught in the spider's web. The more he struggles, the more he gets entangled. and ultimately becomes a white ball, completely entangled within this cobweb. So the first thing is, he stops struggling. He understands, I am stuck. For good, at least temporarily. There is no point struggling. The more I struggle, the more I am going to get out. Let me just sit down and intelligently analyze how to get out. So, the first sign is satisfaction. This is the disposition of a self-realized person. So, Krishna says to Arjuna, Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partham manogatan atmanyeva atmana tushtaha sthita pragyastadocchati. So the first sign, if you want to get out of this struggle, first thing is, be satisfied where you are. If you are not satisfied in current position, you will not be satisfied. There is no guarantee that you will be satisfied even if you become Indra or Brahma. That's what Vamandev told Bali Maharaj. I am satisfied with 3 pieces of land, that's how I need to sleep. He said, you are foolish. Your intelligence is as little as your size. Vamanadeva, very small. And then he says, no. No, king, a person whose senses are not under control, whose mind is not under control, even if all the material abilities, all the facilities, he has all the universe, he will be disturbed. Look at you. You have conquered all the 3 worlds. Still you are in anxiety, performing the 100 takes there to retain that position. What is the point? You have everything. You are ready to offer me even a planet. But you are so miserable. You are doing so much endeavor, trying suggestions and all this. Just to change. I am satisfied. 3 pieces of land. 3 steps of land. So the first thing he said is simply be satisfied. Satisfaction again does not mean laziness. Satisfaction means unnecessarily don't try to change the material situation. Life's energy is too less and too time is running out. Before death comes, we have that ability to permanently solve our problems. Save time for that. Tasseva hito. So, first of all, stop struggling. That means be satisfied. So the first disposition of a self-realized is, he stops struggle for existence. Unnecessary struggle for existence. Just do whatever is needful. And have faith that whatever is in your quota is going to come. So many devotees I have met who are in the business field, who are in working, and they tell me again and again, because they are chanting the holy name and all that, slowly they are coming to the mode of goodness. And one man was telling me, Prabhuji, business is so much down nowadays. And literally we have to beg at people's feet. I search through yellow pages, you know, what kind of business offer I can get, and you know, that, this, everything. And like a dog, I run around pillar to post. And then I just slump back in my chair. And then my fellow comes from nowhere and gives me the order for the next week. Just. And where I never struggle, the things are coming from. And where I really put my energy, nothing happened. Therefore, I am convinced that since I am doing my duty to Krishna, Krishna will do his duty to me. Yoga kshemam bhavya. So that is the first symptom of a self-realization. That yes, actually Krishna is the controller. Actually, he is our father. He is going to supply. I have to do my duty towards him and do the needful. Next, how does he speak? What is his speech? What is the content of his speech? Dukhesu anudvignamana sukhesu vigata spruha vita raga bhaya krodha sthitadhir muni ruchyate. Dukhesu anudvignamana sthitadhir muni. Muni means mental gymnasts. He stops speculating about, you know, how to solve this problem and how to continue to remain happy. No. Dukhesu anudvignamana. Not being agitated when the miseries come. Sukheshu vigata spruha, not aspiring for planning arrangement for some materially comfortable situation. Vita raga, no attachment, no bhaya, no fear, because he has nothing to lose. Whatever Krishna, whenever he wants, he will supply. Krodha, and therefore kama krodho vijayate, When you have a desire, when it is unfulfilled, you will be angry. He is not angry. Therefore, the whole philosophy of this world is simply justification of their activities. Though he doesn't speak any philosophy. He is Thitadhi Muni, he is Narada Muni. He only speaks pure Krishna consciousness. Whereas all other people, what is their speech? Trying to concoct philosophies to justify their activities. This is content of their speech. This is the content of their books. This is the content of their theme of everything that they think, act and do. So the second thing that he says is his speech. His speech is only in any condition of life. Tattenukampam susamikshamano bhunjaneva atmakratam vipakam hridvag vapurbhir nididhan namaste jivetayo muktupadesadaya bhag. He is simply thanking the Lord and glorifying the Lord under any circumstances, happiness or distress. Because his consciousness is, I deserve much more Lord, you are giving me simply a sample of these miseries. And I don't deserve it, just to keep me encouraged and satisfied, you are sending me some free samples of comfortable situation and happiness. And therefore, in any condition, his speech is simply out of gratitude, thanking the Lord and glorifying the Lord under all circumstances. So this is his speech. Then how does he sit? How does he restrain? Because the mind can easily carry a man away because of the senses. Where the senses go, the mind goes. But how does he sit? And that is very nicely described in the next verse. It says, Yada samhare chayam kurmam ganiva sarvashah indriyani indriyarthebhya tatsya pragya pratishthita. How does he sit? Like a tortoise, completely has his senses under control. Anything favorable in Krishna consciousness, he opens his senses. And if it is not favorable, withdraws. Our father of the nation, Mahatma Gandhi, had three monkeys on his altar. One with the closed eyes, one with closed ears, one with closed mouth. I will not see something bad, I will not hear something bad, I will not speak something bad. But what is good or bad? It's an absolute sense. You know, ultimately, everything is bad. Good or bad in the material world, everything is bad. As yesterday we heard, dry stool or wet stool. The real solution of trying to close is trying to focus within. Put the senses within and trying to understand the self. This is sitting. Therefore, he samadhi samyak adhiyate asmin atmatattvam yathatmam iti samadhi. Samadhi means not sitting at one place doing nothing. Samadhi means 24 hours thinking of self-realization. What is favorable for self-realization? I use my senses for that. If it's not favorable for that, withdraw the senses. Tani sarvani sayamya yukta asita matparah. How is he able to do it? Because he is focusing his senses. Prabhupada gives example of Ambarish Maharaj's quotation. Samai manah krishna padar vindayo vachamsi vaikuntha gunanu varanani. He uses his senses for the satisfaction of the Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, for the Lord of the senses. This is how he sits at one place, undisturbed by all the activities that is going on. Even though he is busy, dynamic, he may be shooting arrows on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but he is sitting quietly, actually doing nothing, simply becoming an instrument in the hand of the Lord to be used as a puppet in any way he wants. But on his own endeavor, he is not doing anything. This is how he sits. Then how does he act? This is the most important thing concerned with today's lecture. How does he act? That is described. He says, but a person free from attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. This is his activity. He says, control his senses through regulative principles of freedom. For one thus satisfied in Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer. In such satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. One who is not connected with the Supreme can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? So his activity is simply becoming an obedient servant of the Lord and his representatives and regulating his life according to their desire. This is the only way. This is the way of actually intelligently trying to transcend. This particular word is very significant. Daiva hetatma hetushu. Daiva bhutatma hetushu. There is one more place this word comes. And that is Daiva bhutatma hetavaha. It is described in Yudhishthira Maharaj's kingdom. There was nobody suffered these three miseries. I used to wonder, how is it possible? Yudhishthira Maharaj's kingdom was in the material world. It is described that in Maharaj Yudhishthira's kingdom, no one suffered any of these threefold miseries. Daiva bhuta atma hetushu. Caused by them, they were not suffering. How is it possible? In the description of the glory of Parikshit Maharaj, it is described what are the quality of Parikshit Maharaj. What should be the quality of a leader? All of us are, to some extent or the other, leaders. A father, a teacher, a king, a politician. We are all, we have, to the extent we have influence over others, we are all leaders. We are leading by our example and our words, action. It is described, a beautiful verse in the Bhagavad says, what exactly, how Parikshit Maharaj used to govern. This is the season of selecting leaders. One can get an idea what an ideal leader was. It says, Shivaya lokasya bhavaya bhutaye ya uttama shloka parayana janah jivanti natmartham asau parashrayam mumocha nirvidya kutah kalevaram. The Goswamis, the Shaunakadi rishis, they are asking Sut Goswami, why did Parikshit Maharaj leave the kingdom and go? What was the necessity? Because he was such an ideal king. In fact, people were very happy. Because what was the quality? There are five qualities mentioned. One is Nirvidya. Nirvidya means, in spite of the fact that he had all the opulences and wonderful abilities and skills, he was totally detached from them for his own sense gratification. This was the first qualification. He was absolutely detached. Nirvidya. And secondly, those skills, those abilities and those facilities of power, prestige, post, etc. he used for what? Shivaya lokasya. Shivaya means welfare. He used them only for the welfare, development and happiness of people. Shivaya, for their ultimate welfare. So he was not only worried about their immediate welfare, but also their ultimate welfare. That is a real king. He is not providing today and tomorrow, he is just hanging you. He is thinking of their ultimate welfare. That is a real king. So, and Prabhupada also mentions, such a person is equal to all. He does not see the comfort of one living entity by sacrificing other living entity. So therefore, no slaughterhouses. For comfort of one living entity, you can't sacrifice others. Because he is a king. King means a representative of the Lord. He should be equal to everyone. Every living entity under his kingdom must be advancing in their spiritual life and also in their material existence. That's the necessity of the king. So, Shivaya lokasya. He would not allow all this nonsense. He was not a foolish king. He was an intelligent man. And he was properly governing. And na atmartham. He was absolutely selfless. There are two kinds of selfishness. One is self-centered on the bodily platform. Another one is self-extended. Aham mameti. So I am God for a particular constituency. That constituency should flourish. And all the dust from there can be spilled over to other place. No problem. Or just this country should flourish. No. The whole, everyone. So in this way, na atmartham. And what is atmartham? What is selfishness? What is real selflessness? Prahlad Maharaj explains, selflessness means making your interest the interest of the Lord. That is real selflessness. Otherwise it is all a haloed form of selfishness. That's all. Only selflessness, real selfish. Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. We have to be swartha. We have to be selfish. But that self is the interest of the super self. So, king should make people become obedient to God. When they become obedient to God, then they can be happy. They must follow the rules. That is how. And secondly, he should guide subjects in such a way that they can go back to the kingdom of God. And then, such a person is parashrayam. Parashraya means para, his body, that king's, even his physical body was a shelter for all these people. If such a person leaves, people lose their shelter. We find, when Prabhupada left, many people were unsettled. They lost their shelter. Because he was such a personality. His existence, his physical body was giving shelter to so many people. Therefore the sages are asking, why did he give up his body? It was a shelter for so many people. He could have counteracted the curse. He could have done everything and, you know, established his kingdom again. He could have killed Kali, personified. How? So this is how, this was the qualification. That means, basically, the king's duty is to see that everyone becomes Krishna conscious and do whatever is necessary. And bhavaya bhutaye. Bhavaya bhutaye means make sure that their basic necessities, food, shelter, clothing, everything is met. That means proper varnashram. We have a gross body, we have a subtle body. The gross body needs a residence, food and clothing. And the subtle body means needs an engagement that is satisfying according to his nature. So if both have to be done, varnashram system is how to engage our gross and subtle bodies so that we are satisfied where we are, happy, and then we can focus. The mind is more settled to think of higher truths. Otherwise it's like a square peg put in a round hole. Struggle, you know, you are not according to your nature properly situated and then miserable. And most of the life goes in trying to solve where I fit in. So the king's duty, the leader's duty is to see that everyone is provided for and properly engaged according to their propensities and nature. Vritti. Then it's easy. Then everyone can properly. Because ultimately, one has to rise to the mode of goodness. From there only one should transcend. Rising to the mode of goodness doesn't mean everyone becomes a Brahmana. Then what happened to Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra? What it means is, be situated where you are. Thane sthitaha. But continue to hear the glories of the Lord. And then do it in such a way that your consciousness is at least coming to the mode of goodness. Because mode of goodness is very close to transcendent mode. In Bhagavatam there is a beautiful verse. I would like to conclude with this particular section. This is 11th canto, 25th chapter, 34 and 35th verse. Rajastamas chavijayet sattva samsheshaya munihi sattvam chavijayet yukto nairapekshena shantadhihi. He should conquer the modes of passion and ignorance by engaging himself only with things in the mode of goodness. Then, being fixed in devotional service, the sage should also conquer the material mode of goodness by indifference toward the modes. That means becoming callous to the needs of the body and becoming very, very careful to the needs of the soul. So at least one should come to the mode of goodness, from where it can be a springboard to transcendence. How do we come to the mode of goodness? Some people may say, no varnashram, how do we know which varnashram? It's all a khichdi nowadays. It's completely mixed up. Simple. Just be situated where you are. Stop speculating. Jnane prayasa udapase. Give up all your speculation of trying to absolute, understand the truth. Jeevanti sangu kharitam bhavadiya vartam. Wherever you are, wherever you are situated, regularly hear from proper authorized sources about the transcendental names, fame, pastime, qualities, activities and glories about abode of the Lord. And Shutigatam Tanuvang Manovir, live a pure and simple life. Pure life by following the regulative principles, and simple life by trying to understand the difference between our needs and our wants. Unfortunately, we don't know how to discriminate. This, if we just do that, it is described here. Therefore, people can become free from the modes of nature, which is why we are suffering, if they pass their lives dovetailing everything, sattvika objects, sattvika activities, sattvic time and place, with the devotional service of the Lord. Only human beings are eligible for propensities in the mode of goodness, and remaining in that state, they gradually become free from the modes. So it doesn't matter, our activities may be that of a Shudra, Kalau Shudra Sambhava, or it may be a Vaishya, or it may be a Kshatriya, or a Brahmana, doesn't matter. But one should develop qualities of goodness. What is qualities of goodness? Number one, Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 11th chapter gives this. First is Satya. Satya means speaking the truth without distortion or deviation. That means understand the scriptures and speak accordingly. Then Daya, sympathy to everyone suffering. Doesn't matter if you are engaged as a Shudra or any occupation. By preaching, we are showing sympathy. Shamodama tapashaucham shantira arjavam jnanam vijnanam. Daya is a quality of goodness. So by, in our situation, wherever we are, if we are trying to preach Krishna consciousness, we develop automatically Daya. If you continue to do that, even if you are the mode of ignorance and passion, slowly we come to the mode of goodness. And in only the mode of goodness, you can maintain things. Then, tapaha. Tapaha means austerities. Now, what is austerity? Such as observing fast at least twice in a month on the day of Ekadashi. And one Nirjala, which is this Sunday, if you have not been able to follow properly any one of these. Shaucha, cleanliness, bathing regularly at least twice a day, morning and evening, and remembering to chant the holy name of God. Doesn't matter what kind of occupation you are, you can bathe every day. Bombay, even that is difficult because of Kali Yuga, but at least. And then chant the holy name. Then, titiksha, toleration. What is that? Being unagitated by seasonal changes or inconvenient circumstances. So that is titiksha. Tolerating whatever condition it is. Not unnecessarily becoming so disturbed and agitated that we stop our self-realization activities. Iksha, distinguishing between good and bad. Shama, control of mind. That means not allowing the mind to act whimsically. That means following according to scriptures. Dhamma, control of the senses. Not allowing the senses to act without control. Ahimsa, non-violence. That means not subjecting any living entity to the threefold miseries. You don't become a cause of misery for someone else. Bhuta. There are three miseries, right? Atma. And Brahmacharya, continence or abstaining from the misuse of one's semen. Tyaga, giving in charity at least 50% of one's income. Swadhyaya,
reading of transcendental literatures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Mahabharata. Saralata, simplicity, freedom from mental duplicity. Santosha, being satisfied with what is available without severe endeavor. No unnecessary prayas. Samadarshi Janera Seva, rendering service to saintly persons who make no distinction between one living being and another and who see every living being as spirit soul. Means Vaishnava Seva. Gramya Cheshta Hoite Nivritti, not taking part in so-called philanthropic activities, trying to solve people's problems, other than giving them Krishna consciousness. Maunam, being grave and silent. Atma Vimarshanam, research into the self as to whether one is the body or the soul. Annadira Vibhag, equal distribution of food and drink. Sakala Loke Bhagavat Sambandha Buddhi, accepting all living entities are related to the Lord, as well as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Seva, service, Ijja, worship, Nati, offering obeisances, Dasya, accepting service, Sakhyam, to consider as a friend, Atmanivedanam, surrendering to oneself to the Lord. According to the differentiations of these 30 characteristics, the 4 Varanas Ashramas are made, but it doesn't matter where we are. If we try, wherever we are situated, to hear, stop speculating, live a pure and simple life, and pursue Krishna consciousness, then it's only a question of time and mode of goodness will come. And in mode of goodness, you can see things for what they are and get the determination and the strength, intelligence and the strength. Shakti buddhi heen ami ati deen. We don't have the power to tolerate, strength to tolerate, we don't have the intelligence to discriminate. But by mercy of the Lord and His devotees, ami ati deen koromore atma saath. Yogyata vichare kichu nahi paai tumara karuna saar. Karuna na hoile kandiya kandiya prananati. That endeavor to get that strength and that intelligence, then one can overcome this. That's what indirectly Narada Muni, or directly in this particular chapter, is telling to Puranjan, Prajinubari. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Yeah, one question we can take. We started late, so 9:15 we started, so I mean 8:15, so 9, in my watch this is 9:13.
In this present world, especially in a student life, we may not be, we will be endeavoring to learn many other things than our current academics, like we do some certificate courses in computers or something else, or privately. So is this external endeavor, or is it like one, we want to get more and more credentials so that we can put them in resume? So such sort of thing is external endeavor, or just be satisfied with this current and proceed?
Two things. Number one, at any cost, if we are compromising in our basic Krishna consciousness, then the red signal should go up. This is becoming too much. And second, we need to take guidance. We need guidance because from Guru Sadhu Shastra, we need guidance. Because we don't know how much is too much or how less is too less. Just like all the medicines for all diseases are available in the shop, medical shop. But why do you go to a doctor? Because individual prescription has to be given according to your severity of the problem or your condition, circumstance, situation, whatever. So there is Shastra. Shastra is like a medical shop. Different slopes for different folks. All kinds of things are available. Then, for Kali Yuga, the medicine that is extracted by the sadhus, that is called
Amnaya. Amnaya means they extract pure devotional service activities. That is like the Shat Goswami's literature. They have extracted Nana Shastra Vicharane Kanipuno Sadharma Sastapako. So they have extracted the essence. So from Shastra, the sadhus have extracted the essence. And now you need to know those essence how to apply. Therefore you need a guru also. Shastra sadhu guru vakya. And chitete koriya aikya. After you get it, inscribe it in your heart and use your intelligence, pray for Krishna, how to do it. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Thai Gopinanandi.